Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's June the 26th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, beef, it's what we talk about. Japan does not like what Congress has in mind. The Australians are down on the U.S. notion of food safety superiority, and suddenly there aren't enough cattle on feed. Well, Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour, and we'll stay with that bovine format for the day. Just a little twist on the four-stomached animal. June is Dairy Month. Time to do your part, says U of I Extension Dairy Specialist Mike Hutchins. He'll tell us just how much that is in any given year. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. July wheat at $3.68 and a half. They were up 5 and a quarter today. September futures at $3.85 and three quarters were up 4 and a quarter. And that's the way things finished in the wheat pit. Everything else was lower in Chicago. This just in from the National Weather Service in Lincoln, by the way. It has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for central McLean County. That's central McLean County in central Illinois in the Bloomington-Normal area. The National Weather Service Doppler radar indicating a severe thunderstorm capable of producing nickel-sized hail. This storm was located near Shirley or about near Bloomington. This storm nearly stationary, by the way. Locations impacted in our listening area, Bloomington, Downs, and Normal. This is a dangerous storm. If you're in its path, prepare for immediate and damaging winds. Destructive hail, deadly cloud-to-ground lightning. People outside should move, of course, to a shelter, preferably inside a strong building, but stay away from the windows. Report any severe weather or damage to your local emergency manager or the nearest law enforcement agency for a relay to the National Weather Service. Again, the National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for central McLean County in central Illinois, especially for Bloomington, Downs, and the Normal area. Now, let's finish up with the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn pit, July futures at 223 even settlement price. They were off a nickel and a quarter today. September's at 234 and a half, down 5 and a quarter, and December's down 6 and a quarter today at 249. March corn, 261 and a quarter, down 6 cents on the afternoon. July soybean futures, 569 and a half. They were off 11. August contract down 11 in the bean pit at 575 and a half. And the September futures at 582 and a half were down 11 and a quarter. November beans at 594 and one half. They finished a full 12 cents lower for the day. Bean meal futures July contract $171.90, down 460 for the day. July bean oil at 24.44. They're off 18. Feeder cattle August contract 117.12 and a half. Up $1.97 and a half in June live cattle at 85.30 at the Mercantile Exchange. Up $2.42 and a half. July lean hogs at $74 even were up 77 and a half cents on the day.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us from the center of the storm front at this point is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, filling in for our Normal Monday afternoon analyst. Good afternoon, Pete. Things pretty rough there at this time.
Nice outside. It's a little gloomy looking, but there's no wind, and we're at the north edge of Normal, so you know we might be 20 miles away from wherever you're talking about, at Shirley and Downs.
Well, if things happen to strike up, make sure you just tell us. We'll let you go, and you can go find a safe shelter. Let's talk about the safe shelters farmers might be looking for at this point. Tough day in Chicago. Beans were off 11 cents, the corn down 5 for the day.
Yeah, and we broke some barriers that we hadn't broken a long time, lowest closes we've had a long time in both corn and beans. The weather is the the culprit. There's no heat in any of the nearby forecasts, and there's normal to moisture coming, and that is just pushing things down. We do have a big carryover for this year yet in both corn and beans, and we need to get a lot of that shipped here before harvest. As a result, the bases are really bad too, but no adverse weather in the forecast. Remember, we have the report this Friday, and then we turn into July next week. And a lot of times when we turn into July, it gets hotter, and we have less rain. And if that happens, we could turn around. But without that, we're just looking at grinding lower.
And we're in one of these areas, the Champaign, McLean, Decatur to Lincoln sort of area that is a little bit dry. Can you give us an idea of what farmers are telling you about their local conditions from one end of the state to the other?
Yeah, local conditions. We could use a good rain. We're not being killed yet, but it is dry. All of these rains that people have been getting around here, it's 0 to a tenth to a couple tenths in the last 2 weeks. I haven't heard of anybody getting good rains. You got to go 50 miles west or 80 miles north or 100 miles south where people got an inch or more. Around here, it's very scattered and very sparse, and we are dry. The lawns are like July crisp, and the beans are sitting there waiting for the moisture. The corn is curling, depending on the your variety. We had a lot of pineapple-looking plants around the last 2 days in the Bloomington Normal area.
And then turn that and talk about the importance of looking further than your back door.
Well, that's the thing, looking further than your back door. McLean County doesn't matter. The world matters. And we do have the highest carryout ever of beans in the world. And it's in the whole world. We have great usage. Corn has a big carryover in the world for this year, especially in the United States, but the rest of the world also has adequate supplies. Corn exports have been going very well. Ethanol is a very good point. We're using more and more of that. In fact, we will use more bushels for ethanol this year than we export. So we do have great usage, but we also have a good crop coming on for right now.
And then talk a little bit about the importance of being able to store your corn, if you can, and whether you feel that's the case or not.
Well, right now I've heard some people that are going to sell the corn they have stored right now for December delivery now, or they did it last week. December hit $3.
Sure.
Next year,
yeah.
They're going to put it in a bin and hold it for next year, and that's still at 280, 291, and that was at 310 a week ago.
Yeah,
so storage a year out in your own facilities can make you good money, but it's also you better have it taken care of, not wait to see if we go back to 180 like we did 2 years ago.
And is there anything as we go lower that farmers can do to take advantage of the marketplace to protect themselves on the upside on the way back up? What kinds of things are we talking to producers about?
Well, they can, as we go down, we've got people that have sold grain. We've got people that have done nothing. We've got people that have protected themselves with puts. We'd be looking at, as we go towards lows, to buy calls to replace what you sold. As we go low, we would also look at just buying straight futures or selling puts if we get really low to produce some income to help with whatever we got in our sale prices. But, there's all kind of call put strategies depending on where we're at, where the farmer's at, how much have they got sold. I know some farmers that have 80% of this year's crop already sold and half of next year's corn crop sold at, above 280 on the board. So that's a lot better than where we're at now.
And then finally, recap what happened in the Mercantile Exchange after the Friday afternoon's feed report.
The meat report was a lot more bullish than they expected, and as a result, meats opened higher and took off. December cattle were up $1.85. August cattle were up $2.07. June cattle were up $2.42. They go off shortly. But cattle were very good. Over in the hog market, we were back and forth. We opened mixed, and at one time we're down 80, 90 points, and then closed, came roaring back at the end to close up. Shortage of hog numbers, shortage of weights on the hogs, shortage of cattle numbers, all have got the meat complex looking higher at the end of the day.
Thanks much, and stay safe up there.
Thank you.
That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, filling in this afternoon for our Normal analyst, Kurt Kimmel, from that same office place.
The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. By the way, the National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for central McLean County, Illinois, until 3 o'clock this afternoon. The locations impacted are Bloomington, Downs, and Normal. It is a dangerous storm. Once again, that until 3 o'clock this afternoon, a severe thunderstorm warning for central McLean County, including Bloomington, Downs, and Normal. Our own Jay Cyril says tonight across the two-state region, thunderstorms will decrease, but they'll still be scattered throughout the night. Lows around 50 for the northern areas to about 60 in the south tomorrow. He says morning fog mixed with some sunshine, but more thunderstorms bubbling up by afternoon. Highs tomorrow from the 70s around Chicago to the low 80s in southern Illinois and Indiana. Cyril says the extended forecast looks like this through Friday. Not much change as the persistence will be the rule. That means more afternoon and evening thunderstorms on Wednesday to on Friday and mild temperatures right through that date. Look for highs in the mid-70s to around 80 and lows from the upper 50s to the mid-60s. Dave Dickey will be here in just a few moments to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. Remember to visit our website at WILLAG.org in case you happen to miss something you want to hear again right here on the radio station that brings you the best agricultural information.
In agricultural news, Japan's Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries Minister says a U.S. bill designed to punish Japan if it does not open its border to U.S. beef by August 31st is nonsense. Shoichi Nakagawa says the timing of the bill is not right because the two nations just agreed on conditions to lift the ban. Meanwhile, officials in Australia are taking offense at USDA's repeated remarks that U.S. beef is the safest in the world. Says one Australian meat specialist, that's a bit cheeky. We take exception when one nation talks down another nation's product. Meanwhile, Nakagawa made some other news on Friday when he hinted that Japan will make some concessions at this week's WTO trade meeting in Geneva. Many analysts view this week's meetings as a last-ditch attempt to reach an agricultural accord in the Doha round. Friday, 57 U.S. senators wrote President Bush, urging him not to support any Doha deal that would require cuts in U.S. farm support without substantial improvements in market access. USDA says it and the Department of Energy will hold a joint renewable energy conference in St. Louis in October. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Mike Johanns.
This conference not only joins government leaders who have been tasked with addressing our energy problems, but it also has been strategically timed to bring together agricultural and rural investors, industry leaders, public sector utilities, and state agencies with a stake in this very important issue. Additionally, stakeholders from the renewable energy sectors of solar energy, biomass, and wind will have a rare opportunity to meet together.
Energy Secretary Sam Bodman indicated his department will be accepting applications for millions of dollars to create two new bioenergy science research centers.
Systems biology research into microbes and plants may be able to overcome critical roadblocks to cost-effective production of cellulosic ethanol and other renewable energy from biomass, all carried out on a very large scale. It could also mean a potentially huge boost for our agriculture sector. Mimicking nature through artificial photosynthesis could yield fuel directly from solar energy. This is what these new centers will be designed to help achieve.
Bodman and Johanns say the goal of the October Renewable Energy Conference is to get more domestically grown renewable energy sources out of the laboratory and into consumers' hands as soon as possible. The Senate Ag Committee held its first Farm Bill field hearing Friday in Albany, Georgia. Lawmakers sent signals that the budget deficit will be a major factor in the writing of the next farm bill. Kansas Republican Pat Roberts wanted to know how producers would fund their ideas.
During these times of budget deficits and the budget people sitting over the shoulder of Saxby saying, if you're going to increase this one, you got to decrease that one within the parameters of your bill. So do you have any recommendation for modification or reductions to other programs that could be used to pay for this change?
None of the panelists had any suggestions. The next Senate field hearing is in Cape Girardeau, Missouri on July 17th. Ag producers currently participating in the Conservation Reserve Program with contracts expiring between 2008 and 2010 only have a week to apply for re-enrollment or extension. As has been the case in the past, USDA's Farm Service Agency will determine eligibility for re-enrollment or extension using the Environmental Benefits Index. The index assigns point scores to contracts and nationally ranks the contracts into five tiers, taking into account wildlife habitat improvement, water quality, air quality, and reduction of soil erosion, and giving additional credit for contracts within conservation priority areas. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you can sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's absolutely free. You can even pick up all of the or most of the ag programming that we air on the radio station and find an easy way to have it delivered directly to your computer each and every business day of the week without you doing much of anything except signing up for a podcast. That's all right there at willag.org. Up next, June is National Dairy Month here in the United States. It's the 70th year of the dairy promotion. June, as National Dairy Month, started 70 years ago because that's about the time of year cows hit pasture. 7 decades ago, that meant a lot more milk was coming onto the market seasonally. It needed to go somewhere, so June was designated as National Dairy Month. Today, that seasonal spike in oversupply hasn't changed too much, says University of Illinois Extension dairy specialist Mike Hutchins, but the cause is completely different. It does not come from the cow or the pasture.
Of course, nowadays, not nearly as many dairy cattle are on pasture. We still have June Dairy Month, kind of a historical takeover. And nowadays, farmers need to do that because schools shut down and students drink a lot of milk. So when students are out of school, then a large amount of milk becomes available again and has to find a home and be utilized as far as that goes.
If you're doing your fair share to consume U.S. dairy products, then that's a good deal, says Hutchins. It means this year you should drink about 180 pounds of milk.
You're going to eat almost 32 pounds of cheese, about 4.5 pounds of butter, about 23 pounds of ice cream and frozen products, and about 2.5 pounds of cottage cheese. So if you're going to, this is June Dairy Month, those are your goals you're going to have to achieve if you're going to keep up with the average consumer here in the U.S.
Those are yearly, not monthly totals, says the U of I's Mike Hutchins.
Although these numbers may sound very large, compared to some of the European countries like France and Greece and that, they'll eat 50, 60 pounds of cheese. So we are not the big dairy consumers. And of course, you go to New Zealand, they drink lots and lots of milk. But then go to China or Japan, and you know they're talking like single-digit numbers. So the opportunity for dairy product consumption in the world is just going to expand as these countries see, as their economies pick up and they have more dollars, there's going to be greater demands for dairy products. Maybe not milk, but certainly products that contain dairy in them, such as our pizzas and some of our other bakery products as far as that goes.
Frankly, milk is in favor around the United States. Hutchins points to McDonald's plastic chug as a great example of how milk has become a new success story. He says Burger King is soon to follow this summer, putting a Hershey's-branded milk product into its 7,600 stores.
And then Sonic is also coming on board with their 3,000 restaurants, coming with a plastic milk bottle as well, and very prominent three-a-day. Three-a-day, of course, is the big promotion by the National Promotion Board, saying three dairy products a day. And, of course, the one that really appears to be exciting, if you read and listen, is the those products that have whey protein in them. Whey protein appears to be one of the magic ingredients, one of those designer proteins, and has some real health benefits for consumers, which could include some of the weight loss factors and also some other ones related to atherosclerosis and also to diabetes and things like that. So certainly the three-a-day thing is very popular as well.
One of the interesting things that Hutchins says is happening in the U.S. relates to the fat content of dairy products. It is and has been possible to get low-fat milk and dairy products for a long time, but U.S. consumers are opting for both the low-fat and the high-fat products. Premium ice creams are selling very well. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. This just in from the National Weather Service in Lincoln. It has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for southeastern Christian County in central Illinois. That until 3:30 this afternoon. The National Weather Service Doppler radar indicating a severe thunderstorm capable of producing nickel-sized hail. The storm was located near Pena, or about 9 miles northeast of Nokomis, and it was moving north at 5 miles an hour. The locations impacted there, including Taylorville and Assumption. It, like the earlier storm we reported on, is a dangerous storm. And again, the National Weather Service has now issued a thunderstorm warning for southeastern Christian County in central Illinois until 3:30 this afternoon, including locations such as Taylorville and Assumption. A thunderstorm warning also in effect until 3 o'clock Central Time this afternoon for Bloomington, Downs, and Normal. If you're in those areas, be sure to be on the lookout for severe weather. On the lookout now for the cash grain market are the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks much, Wyatt. Glad you were on with us. And I don't know whether you made note that we put you in our weekend newsletter, but we appreciate you all that you had to contribute on Commodity Week this past week. Thanks much.
Well, yeah, thank you much.
Wyatt Muse, of course, joining us along with Lawrence Kane and our other panelists for Commodity Week this past Saturday morning at 11:30. You can hear that program if you'd like on our website. It's there now, WILLAG.org. When I called, everybody was on the phone. You're busy today? That surprises me.
Yeah, we are a little bit busy today. Just some catch-up paperwork. Not really busy so much in the market after such a big sell-off.
And if you could tell us a little bit more about what's been happening in the marketplace for the day?
Big part of it's been a fun liquidation. They got out of 10,000 contracts of corn today, and there's not a whole lot of buying interest, especially 5 days before the crop planting report. Some cooler weather projected for the Midwest, and combined with our technical people saying that there's been some chart damage done in corn, and it's looking to go a little bit lower.
When you got back to the Andersons there this morning, is everybody pretty much in agreement that if you're on the sidelines for the cash, you ought to hang on just because the cash has been coming up there here? I think over the last week you told us you went from 15 under to 18 under, or to 8 under.
Yeah, that's right. And one thing to think about is the board and the cash prices are, you know, delinked, but if you can get some good hedges on and wait for the basis to improve, you're in good shape there. And again, I've been saying it for a while, but if you've got corn or beans on farm, good thing to do right now would be sell the carry and try to deliver it just prior to harvest.
Absolutely. And your bids for the day?
Cash corn, we're going to be 210. Cash soybeans, we will be 246.
And we appreciate you being with us.
Yep, thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Just a reminder, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for southeastern Christian County today, that in central Illinois. The locations impacted Taylorville and Assumption, that until 3:30 this afternoon, and also one for the McLean County area until 3 o'clock in Bloomington, Downs, and Normal. Now, here's your latest regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The superintendent of the Jamaica School District in rural Vermilion County says more state funds are needed before exploring a possible cooperative high school in the area. Superintendent Mark Janiski says in order for the Jamaica, Oakwood, and Catlin school districts to start making plans for a cooperative venture, the state needs to replenish a grant program that ran out of money. 275 cases of AIDS are being monitored by health officials in Champaign County. Statewide figures released today say that includes 6 new HIV infection cases that were reported in the county in the past year, up from 3 new cases the year before. Julie Pride of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District says the increases in new cases might be due to better outreach efforts. An Illinois National Guard battalion is on its way to Iraq after an enthusiastic send-off in Bloomington Normal today. Thousands of people lined the streets of the two McLean County cities to say goodbye to the Bloomington-based 33rd Military Police Battalion. The 73 soldiers are flying out of Chicago to Fort Dix, New Jersey, where they will get training before heading to Iraq. The Defense Appropriations Bill that passed the U.S. House last week includes a $2 million grant for nanotechnology research at the University of Illinois. The grant would help researchers at the College of Engineering explore how medicines can fight disease at the cellular level. Engineering Dean Ilisanmi Adishida says he's optimistic the grant will also be included in the Senate version of the Defense Appropriations Bill. The Green Party said today it's collected enough signatures to earn a place on the statewide ballot in Illinois this fall. Green Party gubernatorial candidate Rich Whitney said it would be a waste of time and resources for Democrats and Republicans to challenge the signatures being filed with the State Board of Elections. And a series of public hearings are planned in Illinois and Iowa on a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers study that concludes it doesn't make sense to beef up levees along the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. After the public hearings, top Corps officials are to make the final recommendation to Congress. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Chip Jorstad in Morris at 815-941-3706. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined down by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
As we get started, just a reminder for the folks in the listening area that the National Weather Service has issued a couple of thunderstorm warnings, one until 3 o'clock this afternoon for McLean County, Bloomington Downs, and Normal in the path of that storm that issued close to the top of the hour, and not too terribly long, a second warning issued for the Taylorville and Assumption in Christian County area of Illinois. Now, tell us a little bit about what's been happening across the Midwest, how storms are firing up, if you could please, Mark.
Yeah, well, the main feature here across the Midwest, which evolved here over the past several days, has been this trough of low pressure in the jet stream. And with this kind of dip in the jet stream, that's produced unsettled conditions here, and as a result of this kind of cooler air aloft, we're able to see the daily development of these showers and thunderstorms, some of which are severe in nature. And really, this is going to be the pattern here across Illinois and the eastern section of the Corn Belt over the next few days. So as a result, you'll continue to see this kind of pop-up shower and thunderstorm activity over the next several days, along with near to slightly below normal temperatures for this time of year.
And then as I was looking a little farther out, it looks like not only this week, but maybe into next week, that we may have those lower temperatures. Are you reading the same types of forecasts?
Well, it does look like as we go into the upcoming weekend, we will see temperatures revert back to normal, even a little bit above normal, mainly across the western section of the Corn Belt in Iowa and Missouri. But from any kind of real crop problem weather pattern out there, we simply do not see anything threatening here over the next week to 10 days, at least here across the Midwest.
And we've talked in the last couple of weeks about supplies of natural gas continue to be in very good shape.
Yeah, and at this stage of the game here, you're at record high supplies here, and it looks like that'll continue here as we go through the remainder of the natural gas injection season here, and certainly going into next winter, we will have these very, very high supplies as we go into the heart of of the winter.
Have you been watching growing areas around the globe? Can you tell us anything about China or this former CIS?
Yeah, you bet, Todd. Certainly there are several issues out there. Actually, they're more so of wheat issues rather than any kind of corn and soybeans. China is actually one of those areas that's not experiencing any kind of problematic weather conditions. They've seen the return of rains here over the past week or so, and with a lack of heat across that area, corn and soybean development will continue without any problems in the early portion of July. Another area not having any problems is India. There was some concern here for a lack of the monsoon of late, but that certainly has turned around in a big way, as we've seen monsoon thunderstorms blossom across northern India over the past several days, and now we see kind of the monsoon in a full active mode here coming up into early portion of July. The areas that we are a bit concerned about, and as I stated before, these are wheat areas. Western Australia has been very dry and will remain dry over the next week, and that's creating poor establishment conditions for winter wheat. Also, Argentina has been on the dry side, except for a few storms across the far eastern section of the belt over the weekend. Outside of that, most of the area in Argentina experiencing very dry conditions, and also that's creating, well, delayed planting of winter wheat, but also poor establishment of the wheat that's been planted.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo's with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. That's today's closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon.